Reading from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the last class of the Kartik 2008, November 12th. We've been discussing the 64 limbs of devotion during this month. This is the Eastern Division, First Division, Chapter 2. This is a conclusion after discussing the 64 limbs of devotion. Then Rupa Goswami concluded from 60 through 64. He described the five most important panchanga bhakti, the five angas of devotion, and these are the most important. And Srila Prabhupada has arranged this gan in such a way that we're all engaged in those five most important limbs of devotion. Just by living in an ISKCON temple or making our house into a temple. If we are grihasthas, then our house can be a temple. Or if we live in a temple, usually the renunciates live in a temple, brahmacharis, sannyasis, and grihasthas, they live at home. But Krishna make our home a temple, then that becomes a dham, a holy dham. Of course, it's not exactly the same as living in Mathura Mandala, but it's something like that. Prabhupada also made a temple in Vrindavan. We can live there. So one of the last five is called Panch. Panch means five. Anga means limbs, branches. So Panch Anga. One is Mathura Mandala Stale. To live in Mathura Mandala means to live in Vrindavan consciousness, and also means to live in a temple. We can extend it that far. But the main thing about Mathura Mandala is to live in Vrindavan consciousness. That Jiva Goswami brings that point out. He says if one lives in Vrindavan physically, that's not enough. He has to also live there mentally. And if one is not physically living in Vrindavan, then he should mentally live in Vrindavan. So he may live in Iran or New Zealand or India or wherever we live. But our mind, our consciousness should be reaching out to Vrindavan. Where is Radharani and Krishna? What are they doing right now? Now it's 2 o'clock. Now it's 3 o'clock. What is Radharani doing? What is Krishna doing? And what seva may I be doing if I happen to be so fortunate to be in that realm? So then the second limb is Srinam Sankirtan. To engage in Nam Sankirtan. And now we're all doing that, chanting japa and chanting kirtan and different songs and bhajans, Nam Sankirtan. Then the third thing is Sri Murti Seva, Shraddha Seva, to serve the Murti of the Lord with faith, to have faith. And we're trying to do that. Even if you have pictures in your house, you serve those pictures by making offerings. And, of course, Murti, it says Murti Seva, Sri Murti Seva, that means directly serving a form of the Lord. And then the other is Sadhu Sangha, to associate with sadhus. And that's also available in the temple. Or if you live outside, you have some satsang group. They call it Bhakta Riksha or something like that, Bhakta Riksha. Some satsang group where a group of grihasthas meet regularly and discuss shastras and have kirtan, sadhu sangha. And then the fifth limb is Sri Bhagavat Shravan, Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam Shravan. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he says it should be Sri Bhagavatam, Sri Bhagavat Seva Rasik. Saharasika Bhakta, something like this. It says, Sri Bhagavat Swado Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. He said, one should relish the taste of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the association with advanced devotees. That is the best. So, if you look at these five limbs, Panchanga, five forms of devotional service, they're all available, especially available in any ISKCON temple around the world. And this is something to consider, because there are many temples in India where sadhakas live, and there are many Vaishnava temples where devotees live, but they don't have a regular program of Srimad Bhagavatam class, for example. It's not that the program that Prabhupada has in ISKCON temples is the same in all temples. Many temples, they just in the morning, they have Mangalarti, of course, and then they just chant some bhajans. If you want to, you can chant bhajans, or you can go to your room and chant japa. There's not a very strict program. So, and many of the temples, they appreciate ISKCON's program that Prabhupada established. And Prabhupada was a great follower, or rather is a great follower, of Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Rupa Manjari. And he lived there in close association with Rupa Goswami and Rupa Manjari in Sevakunj for 6 years. And Sevakunj at Radha Damodar Temple. So Prabhupada understood the heart of Rupa Goswami very nicely. Rupa Goswami himself is glorified by Krishna's Kaviraj as someone who really understood the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Rupa Goswami understood the heart of Mahaprabhu, and the heart of Mahaprabhu was to distribute Braj Bhakti to the world. And the heart of Mahaprabhu was to attract jivas to the service of Radharani, because Mahaprabhu was Krishna, feeling a separation from Radharani, Radhabhav. So Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, the Manobhishtam, the inner desire, the heart's desire, the mind's desire of Lord Chaitanya is the desire of Krishna. And Krishna felt a debt. He says, Naparyaham. He says, Radharani, I cannot repay my debt to you. You've served me so wonderfully and beautifully and tenderly and expertly, more than any other person in the entire universe. And you're the best of all the gopis. So I can never repay the debt to you. But maybe somehow, because when someone has a debt, they owe someone something. You borrow money from someone, then you owe them that money. That's called a debt. And Chanaka Pandit says in Niti Shastra, well, there's three things that we must attend to at the earliest. One of them is disease, which we're trying to attend to. And the other is a fire. If you have a fire in your house, you can't neglect it. Otherwise, a small fire becomes a big fire and no house. And the third thing is a debt. If you owe someone something, you have to pay it back. In fact, it's so stringent in Vedic Dharma, it's such a strict law that if you have a debt to someone and you die before paying it, you have to come back in the next life. You have to take another body and pay your debt. That's how strict it is. And I know there was one lady here, the mother of one of my friends, one Manipuri Vaishnava. And she was dying, about to die. She was very sick and she only had a few days left. And actually she chose which day to die. She asked her son, she said, when is Ekadasi? And her son said, Thursday. And this was Tuesday. So she said, all right, I'm going to leave on Thursday. So you don't have to have long dreadlocks and lots of rings on your fingers and be some kind of big yogi from Haridwar to know when you're going to die or to choose your time of death. Even a simple devotee housewife can understand this point. This is the mercy of Krishna. So she left, but before she left, about a day before she left, she called her son and she wrote down on a piece of paper, she said, listen, I owe some money in the market. I have different girl friends or lady friends I borrowed money from. Please pay this one 220 rupees, pay this one 60 rupees, pay this one 31 rupees. She had a whole list. So then he went around to the village. He went around and paid all these people that she owed some money to. Then the morning of that Ekadasi, then, I told this story before, then the morning of that Ekadasi, she asked her son and her daughter, especially her daughter, to help get her dressed very beautifully. So she dressed in a brand new, went out and got a brand new sari and all new clothes and put on earrings and all her best jewelry, and all decorated very beautifully, although she's an old lady. And then her son said, why so much arrangement? Because you're going to die. It's not exactly a party. It's not exactly you're going to a party. She said, no, I'm going to meet Krishna. And I don't want to look in a bad way. I want to look very pretty and beautiful like a gopi. And so please do like this. So they did. And so they and a bunch of Manipuri kirtaniers gathered around her bedside and they chanted holy name. And she listened and then she just left. No, just like smiling and just left. No pain, no terrible ugly faces and fearful faces. And so this is a devotee's bhav. So Prabhupada, he knew the heart as Lord Chaitanya, as Rupa Goswami knew the heart of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya's heart was the heart of Krishna, and Krishna had a debt. And so this weighed heavily on his mind. That he said, Radharani Napariyeham, I can never repay you. But that doesn't mean he stopped thinking about it. And so then Krishna had to take another birth to pay his debt to Radharani. Just like if you have a debt and you don't pay it, you have to take another birth to pay that debt. So Krishna took another birth in order to pay his debt to Radharani. This is one idea. And he appeared as Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was traveling all around the world, I mean all around India, trying to repay Radharani's debt. So he's collecting so many devotees and converting so many devotees to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And then he empowered all of his devotees to spread the teachings of Braj Bhakti. Braj Bhakti, especially Gopika Bhakti, Madhurya Bhakti, Radha Bhakti. In fact, he, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all of his followers, they formulated an entire Siddhanta around the Sadhya. The Sadhya means the prayojan, or the goal, or the final point. They formulated an entire Siddhanta and Sadhya. Siddhanta or Sadhya and Sadhana, which means practice. There's a goal of your practice. You practice and you have a goal. The purpose, your practice is Ashtanga Yoga. And your goal is samadhi. You want to Brahma Nirvana or the bliss of Brahman. You want to enter into samadhi, an eternally blissful state. So you have a goal. So they developed a whole sadhana and sadhya all around the idea of serving Radharani, Radhadasya. This is the actual teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the Siddhanta. That we are worshippers of the female God, right? There's the male principle of Godhead, and there's the female principle of Godhead. It's interesting how in Gaudiya Vaishnavism they say Godhead. So men have heads and so do women. So it's not the male God, it's the Godhead. So the Godhead has two aspects, Shakti and Shaktiman. Served and servitor, loved and beloved, lover and beloved, or predominated moiety and predominator, moiety, as they say in Old English, controller and controlled. But they're basically two aspects. Like we're the controller of our body, and our body is serving us, but we don't think that our body is less than us. Right? We tell hand, okay, close hand. So the hand closes, following our command. So the hand is, we are the controller of the body. The body is our energy, and we are the controller. We are the willing agent. We have will, Ichha Shakti, Jnana Bala Kriyacha. So Krishna is like this. He's the willing agent, and the energy is Radharani. So they're not separate. They're inseparable. You cannot separate the female principle from the male principle in Godhead. There's always Shakti and Shaktiman. So Krishna He came, this whole sadhana that Lord Chaitanya taught and the sadhya is based ultimately on finding more servitors to serve Radharani, to try to balance the scale, because Krishna drew so much service from Radharani and her party that he said, I'm in debt. I've borrowed a lot from you. I've borrowed a lot of money from you. Like if I borrow $1 million from you, then I'm really in debt. So Krishna drew a lot of service. He drew a lot of service from Radharani and all the Mandris and Sakis. The most service and the highest quality and the greatest depth and most satisfaction. And he felt the weight of it. And he admitted, honestly admitted in the Bhagavatam, in the Rasapanchadaya chapters, that I'm a debtor. I'm in debt. And when you're in debt, what do you have to do? If you're in debt to someone, then you have to go beg. You have to go beg to other people, please, can I have some money? I owe this guy a lot of money. And it's weighing on my mind. Can you give me some money or work? So then Lord Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya is a beggar. Lord Chaitanya is a sannyasi. Sannyasi is called Tridandi Bhikshu. He's a bhikshu, he's a beggar. So Lord Chaitanya was Prem Bhikari. He was begging for Prem. So he's begging everyone, please, please, I'm begging you. Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. I'm begging you, please take this Krishna Prem. Take this Prem. And with this Prem, serve Radharani. Right? Prem Seva Radharani. Because I owe Radharani. I'm indebted to Radharani. So therefore, when Prabhupada was asked, when the letter is there, you can see in Prabhupada's letters, one disciple said, Prabhupada, are all of our gurus in Madhurya Bhav? Madhurya Bhav. And Prabhupada wrote that in the letter. He said, yes, most of the gurus in our line are in Madhurya Bhav. Most of them are gopis. Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati is a gopi. Bhakti Vinod Thakur is a gopi. Jagannath Das Babaji is a gopi. Gaurakishore Das is a gopi. Naratam, Vishwanath, they're all gopis. And all the six Goswamis, they're all gopi mandaris. And so they're preaching. So these five limbs of devotion, that these are the most important limbs of devotion. And Prabhupada, he very much, just as Rupa Goswami understood the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to establish this Braj Bhakti and Gopika Bhakti, Srila Prabhupada understood the heart of Srila Rupa Goswami. The heart of Rupa Goswami was to especially emphasize these five limbs of devotion, and that's what he's telling here in this text. Number 238. 1, 2, 238. He's saying that of these five, of all the 64 limbs of devotion, these five are so powerful that you can obtain prema bhakti by these five. So Prabhupada took the lead. Prabhupada took the lead from nectar devotion, and then he made a whole institution around Panchanga Bhakti. ISKCON is just emphasizing Panchanga Bhakti. So therefore we have study of Bhagavatam, worship of deities, Nam Sankirtan, Sarasanga, and living in Vrindavan. Because Prabhupada built temples all around the world, so Prabhupada said these temples are the spiritual world. But then what do we do in all the temples around the world, even though Prabhupada instituted daily reading of the Krishna book. So that everybody living in those temples around the world would be in Vrindavan consciousness by reading the Krishna book. And Sri Mathura Mandale Stale, to live in Mathura means to live in Vrindavan consciousness. So therefore, ISKCON means Panchanga Bhakti. So looking at this, we can understand that as Mahaprabhu understood the heart of, excuse me, as Rupa Goswami understood the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada understood the heart of Srila Rupa Goswami, and he established that heart by establishing the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which is based on the five limbs of bhakti, the five most important limbs of bhakti, Panchanga Bhakti. So this is this verse, this is just a little introduction to the verse. Duruhad bhuta viryesmin shraddha dureshtu panchake yatra swalpalpi sambandha sandhiyan bhavajanmane. These last five limbs of devotion, this is Rupa Goswami's verse, these last five out of the 64 limbs or angas of sadhana, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, worship of the deity in the temple, Sri Murti Seva, relishing the esoteric bhakti rasa of the Bhagavatam, Sri Bhagavat Swado, association of the company of unalloyed devotees who are in the pure mentality, who are of pure mentality in spiritual practices, sadhusanga. 4. Chanting the name of Krishna, Sri Krishna Nam Sankirtan. 5. Residence in Mathura Mandala. These five limbs possess such extraordinary spiritual force that in a short, that if someone has faith in them, in a short time, the practice of these five will arouse bhava bhakti in the pure heart of non-offensive devotees. It says, adbhuta virya. Adbhuta means inconceivable, incredible power, like we say virile or virility. English word virility means powerful. Adbhuta virya, shraddha. If one actually believes it, shraddha means shraddha, ado shraddha tata sarasanga. If one actually has faith, he believes it and he's nirapparadi. He's not an apparadi, he has faith. He believes, yes, these five limbs are so valuable that if I execute these five limbs of devotion, it says, swalpa, even swalpa sambandha. Sambandha means relationship. Krishna sambandha. Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe. Yukta vairagya yuchate. Swalpa means a little bit. Swalpam apyasya dharmasya. Swalpam sambandha means a little bit of relationship. Bhava janmane. Like janmastami. Bhava janmane means that this means bhava janma means the birth, that bhava will appear, bhava will arise, bhava will take birth in the heart by these five practices. And then he says this word, swapo sambandha sandhiyan. So dhyan, the word sandhiyan is translated as pure heart. It says the last five items have inconceivable and astonishing power. Right? To associate with devotees has inconceivable and astonishing power. To live in Vrindavan has inconceivable and astonishing power. To worship the deity has inconceivable and astonishing power. To chant the holy name has inconceivable and astonishing power. To hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, that practice has inconceivable and astonishing power. Adbhuta virya. And we should believe it. We should have faith in it. But we don't. That's the problem. We don't have. We have swalpam shraddha. We have very little faith. Oh yeah, I read the Bhagavatam sometimes. What to speak of having faith in these items? If we have just a little relationship with these items, persons who are devoid of offenses can attain the level of bhava. So this word is, it says sandhiyan. Swalpa sambandha sandhiyan bhavas bhav janmane. The word sandhiyan is a combination of two Sanskrit words, sat and dhyan. So sat means eternal, satchitananda, but sat also means pure, and dhyan means di, like buddhi, or Buddha. Buddha means the enlightened one. The word buddha, the enlightened one, the avatar, this comes from the word buddhi, which means intelligence. So Buddha was enlightened because his intelligence was transcendental. So sat-dhyan means pure intelligence. So this becomes translated with pure hearts of non-offensive devotees. So when one has pure, that means without committing offenses. If we don't commit offenses, then bhakti is self-manifest. How important, everywhere it's told to be non-offensive. And so, it just says these five, and in one place I think it says even one of these five. So he lists those, he mentioned those five, he mentions the five again, which I don't think we're going to get to since the last class. And the last verse, he's mentioned these five, and then again he mentions these five. After mentioning the 64 limbs, the last five, which are what we've been discussing, then he says these five have such amazing power that you can get bhav. Then he again mentions the five. Rupa Goswami goes through the five again to remind us. At the end of that list, then he says, even one of these limbs will give us bhav and prem. So this word sandhyan means pure hearts or free from offenses. And the commentary that I have here is explaining that if we're simply free from offenses, then bhakti is self-manifest, which means because bhakti is personal. It's so easy to understand devotional service, really. Because bhakti is Krishna, Krishna's energy. Some acharyas described bhakti to be the effulgence of Radharani. So that means bhakti is inseparable from Radharani. It's her effulgence. Don't be confused that Tulsi is bhakti. Sometimes you say Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. I say it like this. And some people say Tulsi Devi is Bhakti Devi. This is incorrect. Bhakti Devi is a energy which is primarily Radharani, because bhakti is Ladini. Ladini, then the knowledge is the ability to love and an understanding of how to love. This is bhakti. The ability to love and the understanding of how to love. So that understanding aspect of Ladini or bhakti is called Samvit. So Bhakti Devi is called the halo of Radharani, the energy of Radharani. So Radharani, what is her purview? What is her area of concern? Her area of concern is serving Krishna. She is the prime minister of Krishna's service. See, they have a ladies' government in the spiritual world. The prime minister, the emperor is Krishna, but the prime minister is Radha. So Radharani is the best servitor, so she's in charge of all services. Ultimately. And if someone is offensive, if someone is an aparadhi, is offensive to the holy dham, is offensive to devotees, is offensive to the Bhagavatam, is offensive to the deities, is offensive to the holy name, then Radharani will not be very pleased. And Radharani will not glance upon that person or give them bhakti. They will not receive bhakti because they're offensive. But if they're free from offenses and they approach the holy dham without any offenses, with a pure, it's a sat-dhyan. Literally, sat-dhyan means pure intelligence. So when one's intelligence is pure, then he doesn't make any offenses. So if one approaches the Bhagavatam without offense, and he approaches the holy dham without offense, and the holy name without offense, and the holy saints without offense, and the Sri Murti without offense, then Radharani is very pleased. Then bhakti manifests in the heart. Radharani's amsha. Bhakti is described as the amsha, the energy, the expansion, the limb of Radharani. And the guru is called Sri Guru. He's a representative of that energy of bhakti. Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So there's a prime minister and a chief minister. Central government is prime minister. So the prime minister of bhakti is Radharani. And the chief minister of bhakti is guru. Like localized, right? Chief minister is localized, if you know about Indian politics. The central government is a prime minister. Then all the local states, we have different states, Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, they have CM called chief minister. So the local representative of bhakti, the local representative of the spiritual world is Sri Guru. So he's the Vaishnav. He's Sadhu Sangha. So we offend the sadhus and bhakti's not there. But just see what Rupa Goswami is telling us here. And we should have faith in his words. That if we discriminate and act in such a way that we're non-offensive, then bhav will appear in our hearts by these five limbs of devotion. Is there any questions on this point? Seva is seva. Wherever you do seva, it depends on if you're doing Jaro Seva and Seva Kunj Vrindavan, is that the same as doing Jaro Seva in Germany, in the ISKCON German temple? So Seva, of course, depends on the mentality. Always depends upon the mentality. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. You may be doing the same thing. Two devotees are sitting, and also in Vrindavan, they're chanting the holy name. And one devotee is thinking of her husband or wife. And the other devotee is thinking of Astakali Leela. So they're both doing the same activity, but the result will be different. One is offensive japa, inattentive japa, and one is absorbed japa, full of seva bhava and smaran. So the most important thing about devotional service is what is the mentality? The bhav and the mind, the heart and mind, the position of the mind and heart is the important thing about devotion. It's not the position of the body and senses. When Prabhupada was in New York, he said, don't think I'm in a New York apartment, I'm in Vrindavan. My body, you see my body in Second Avenue in New York, but my heart and mind are in Vrindavan. So that's one point to understand clearly. And the other point is that wherever we're doing devotional service, there are 64 limbs of devotion. And not every single minute detail devotional service is listed in Nectar Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. You won't find a limb that says Jaro Seva. You won't find a limb of devotion that says oil paintings. You won't find a limb of devotion that says playing guitar in a Hare Krishna rock band. These are not specifically limbs of devotion. So then we have to trace out. That's why Guru is there. Guru and sadhus are there to understand Shastra. So if you're playing guitar in the Hare Krishna rock band, then you're engaged in Nam Sankirtan. So that's Nam Sankirtan. Or you can say it's Vandanam. You're playing your classical Spanish guitar and singing Brahma Samhita. So that's Vandanam, offering prayers to the Lord with a modern musical accompaniment. So you won't find, if someone says, I don't see anywhere in Nectar Devotion where it says Jaro Seva, brooming, sweeping with a broom. This is not devotional service. Gurudev, I'm not going to sweep the sidewalk in front of the temple. It's not a limb of devotion. Someone may say like that. I see hearing and chanting, remembering. So what is this? This is Padasevanam. Or you can even say, if you're sweeping the deity room, then it's Didi Seva. So that's another point. It's devotional service. It's purifying. And by practicing devotional service, you can attain prema. By sweeping the ground in Germany, the temple grounds with a broom, you can attain Vaikuntha prema. That's Vaidhi Sadhana, you can attain Vaikuntha Prema. But then, if you're sweeping the grounds in Germany, but you're thinking that I'm in Seva Kunj, and then you're absorbed in Krishna's Leela, then that becomes Raghunuga Sadhana. And that will take you to Braj. So the position, the bhav is the important thing, the mentality. Now, these are some points to consider. Now, the final point is that Germany is not a Leela Stali of Radha and Krishna. Vrindavanam Prityaja Paramekam Nagachati. Radha and Krishna never take a step out of Vrindavan. So there's oneness in these two services, sweeping in Germany and sweeping in Vrindavan, but there's also difference. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. That is everywhere, and that we have to always understand, the oneness and difference. That is a difference between Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta and any other Siddhanta. Some say it's one, some say it's different, but we see the unity of the one and the difference. Because oneness is sambhog, milan, and difference is vipralamba, separation. So beginning with Radha and Krishna, there's oneness and there's difference. There's a bheda and bheda. Sometimes we are one in divine union, sambhog, and sometimes we are separated in vipralamba. So this is the lila, this is the tattva, and this is the siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. To everywhere trace the principle of bheda and abheda, oneness and difference. My guru is Sakshat Hari. He's one with Hari, Sakshat Hari. But he's different than Hari. He's one with three because he's one with his desire. He's representing his will and his teachings. And he's my connection with Hari. But he's different. He's a jiva. He's not Vishnu Tattva. He's a jiva. And he's a representative of Hari. He's not God himself. So, everywhere, this point. And this is the difference between the Kanishta and the Madhyam. The Kanishta learns to discriminate and understand the fine points of Siddhanta. He understands, and then the Uttam, he's realized the fine points of Achintya Bheda Tattva. So that's why your question is there, because you want to see the oneness, but now we have to see the difference. So the difference is that in Seva Kunj, Vrindavan, Krishna comes every night and has Leela with his gopis, Ras Leela. And if you go to Seva Kunj in Vrindavan and you sweep the footpaths of Vrindavan, if you're in the right mentality and full of utkantita bhav, you may find an ankle bell of Srimati Radharani. But never in 50 million years will you find an ankle bell of Srimati Radharani in Germany. Because it's not the spiritual world. It's a tirtha, it's a holy place. If the consciousness of that person in Germany is Vrindavan consciousness, which is what I'm trying to emphasize, which you should try to pick up, then that mandala of his consciousness, the orbit of his consciousness, is saturated and fixed in Vrindavan. Stali means stiti, stan. His mind is a mandala, and his mind is fixed in Vrindavan. So he's sweeping the temple in Germany, but he's thinking, I'm in Vrindavan. And so he may become so absorbed in his meditation while he's sweeping that he falls unconscious. And then he enters into a sporti, a vision of Seva Kunj. And this is Leela Pravesh. And then he finds an ankle bell there. And then he thinks, oh, whose ankle bell is this? It looks so beautiful and effulgent. And then that whole dreamlike experience of sporti, transcendental sporti, some gopis come and they say, that's our sister's ankle bell. Please give that ankle bell. And say, I want to see your sister. And they bring the sister, and the sister's Radharani. And Radharani comes and puts her hand on your head. And you feel the touch of Radharani's hand. And then when her hand touches your head, you suddenly wake up. And you find yourself lying on the ground of the temple in Germany. And you say, wow, what an experience I had. Right? That's possible. But that experience is due to the purity of your Vrindavan consciousness. So Rupa Goswami is saying the five most important limbs of devotion, Sri Mathura Mandala, to live in Vrindavan, which means to live in Vrindavan consciousness. So don't confuse. There's a oneness in sweeping, and there's a oneness in the service of sweeping in Germany and sweeping in Vrindavan, but there's also a difference. There's so many differences. There's so many differences. If you die in Vrindavan, just if you die in Vrindavan, you get liberated. But if you just die in Germany at the temple, you don't get liberated. That's one difference. This is Chintamani Bhumi. If it was not true, then people would never come to Vrindavan to die. The Shastras are telling if you die in Vrindavan, you get liberated. This is a Shastra. The Shastras aren't telling if you die in Delhi, you get liberated. If you die in Germany, there's so many temples in Delhi. They're not saying you crawl into a temple and die, you get liberated. If you simply die in Vrindavan, you get liberated. So there's a difference. There's a speciality of Brajabhumi. So that's why all the scriptures, I mean, there's a whole book that tells you to drop everything, close up everything, and run to Vrindavan. Well, a whole book with 2,000 shlokas called Vrindavan Mahimamrita by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, or Prabodhananda Saraswati. And he is Radharani's most confidential confidant, who is so learned in all the shastras. Her name is Tunga Vidyasakhi. Tunga means very strong and powerful realization of Vidya, Tunga Vidya. She really knows the Shastra. She's a great pundit. And she came as Prabodhananda Saraswati, and she's telling, listen, everyone, just run away from your wife and run away from your husband and your family and everything and go to Vrindavan. And if someone tells you, hey, don't go to Vrindavan, you stupid, then just throw them on the floor and cut out their tongue so they won't say any nonsense like that anymore. And if your mind tells you that, what is this? Why you go to Vrindavan? You can do devotion in Germany. Why you go to... No. Then you should take a brick and smash your mind. Of course, if it's your guru's order, then guru mukha padma vakya chitite kurya aikya. Then if your guru says you stay here and serve, then you serve. But if your guru is not over your head, or you haven't found a guru and you read this book, then you'll run to Vrindavan. So this is a type of devotional fanaticism, of course, to drop everything and run to Vrindavan. But really, what does this mean? See, this is the thing. We read shastras, and then you see people, some crazy devotee, he gets a copy of Vrindavan Mahimamrita, and he reads it. And then, you know, he goes to the temple commander and says, listen, I've been serving here for 5 years. I'm going to Vrindavan. I'm going to move to Vrindavan. My mother died. I got a lot of money. I'm going to live on my money in Vrindavan. And he says, no, you can't go. You have to stay here and be a temple commander. This is a big project in Moscow, a new temple coming up. What's this? I know Vigyan Goswami Maharaj will be so upset. And no, I'm going. And then they start arguing. And then that bhakt or that devotee who read this Vrindavan Mahimamrita, he pulls out a knife. He says, I'm going to cut your tongue out. And they start fighting, and he cuts the tongue out of the temple president, right? No, this isn't what he's telling. This is not what he's telling at all. But some neophyte devotee might think like this, because he doesn't understand the literal meaning, he doesn't understand the real meaning of shastras. Sometimes they're literal, sometimes they're figurative. Sometimes it's literal. The Bhagavad Gita is literal, and sometimes there's some figurative or implied statements. It's called parokshavad. So we need guru to understand. So what does this mean? What is he actually saying? Prabhupada Saraswati is saying that if there's anything within us that takes us away from Vrindavan consciousness, then we should remove that. We should remove that. So cutting out the tongue, if someone tells us not to go to Vrindavan, we should cut out their tongue. What does that mean? That means if our tongue is not engaged in glorifying Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, then we should stop it. We should not speak anymore. And maybe even cut our own tongue. At least we should cut our tongue. We cut also means to stop. Like we say, cut it out. Cut it out. Sometimes in English, the little junior's misbehaving, so you say, cut it out. Cut. Stop. Cut it out. So cut out the tongue means to cut the nonsense. And that's what Rupa Goswami is saying. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam. Vegam means nonsense. Pushing. Your tongue is speaking nonsense. Cut it out. Cut out the vegam. Cut out the pushings. Cut out the nonsense pushings, the nonsense talk, and always talk about Radha and Krishna. And if your mind says, oh, don't go to Vrindavan, smash it with a brick, that means when your mind is not remembering Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, Astakali Leela and their holy names, the Hare Krishna mantras, Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, We may not see that yet, but that will be seen when we chant Shudranam. We will see Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan when we chant Hare Krishna. So then we should beat that mind, our mind, with a brick. What is this mind? Why are you not thinking of Radha and Krishna? Are you stupid? Didn't our Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati tell us the same thing? Right? There's a famous statement. Bhakti Siddhanta said, in the morning we should beat our mind 100 times with a stick. In the evening we should beat our mind 100 times with a shoe. Because usually our mind is going everywhere but Vrindavan. Just imagine if your mind was a tempo. A tempo means like a interesting auto scooter. It's called a tempo. Your mind is a tempo. And your intelligence should be the driver. Because when you get out of the train in Mathura, when you're coming from Delhi, or Heli, or Smelly, or any place, Heli, Smelly, Delhi, and you get out of the train in Mathura, then you walk out of the train station, then the drivers of the tempo, do you know what they say? They say 3 words. Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. Because they want you to get in their tempo and drive you to Vrindavan for 12 rupees. So our mind is the tempo. And our intelligence is the driver. And our intelligence should be telling our mind, Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. So then the tempo of our mind, the tempo, not the temple, that's also there. Mana mandire rahanishidin. The tempo or the auto scooter of our mind should be always taking us to Vrindavan. Always think Vrindavan. Always feel Vrindavan. Always will Vrindavan. So this is Vrindavan consciousness. So you live in Germany or Kakistan or Pakistan or Pakistan or any kind of stan you want to live in. Lilistan. Some people live in Kakistan. Kakistan? Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan, and then Pakistan. So we live in Lilistan, right? Lilistan. Stan means the place of Lila. Lilastali, Lilistan. So you can live in Kazakhstan, but you should live in Vrindavanstan. Manastan. Your mind should be in Vrindavan, wherever you are. Oh, I'm sweeping the sidewalk for the temple in Germany. Actually, I'm not in Germany. This is Sevakunj. And there's all these beautiful, funny trees on either side of the sidewalk that are bent over in such a funny way, and there's monkeys jumping around. And in the middle of these clump of trees, there's the Ranga Mahal, where Krishna rubs Radharani's feet. And then I'm just sweeping like this. And I'll be so blissful, because my mind is in Vrindavan. This is a land of bliss. If you have any touch, any contact with this holy Dham, any kind of way, you'll become blissful. You sit here, you touch this land, you glorify this land, you remember this land, you'll become blissful. And you'll be so absorbed in your sweeping, if somebody will look at you and say, well, this person is really into a sweeping. You'll become oblivious to the world. And that's exactly what Krishna consciousness is all about. Be in the world, but not of the world. You're moving in the world, you're working in the office, you have a family, everything, but your mind is always in Vrindavan. So you're always joyful. You're working in some stupid computer office for some stupid boss, for some stupid money, which we need to live our stupid lives. But the whole time, our mind is very intelligent. Sat Dhyan, it says. Sat Dhyan means pure intelligence. Our intelligence and mind is always thinking of Vrindavan. I know some people, they work in these stupid jobs and computers, and they bring in some disc, their own disc, and they keep it they load it on the computer. It's not on the boss's computer, it's on their disc. And then they open that disc, and then they have like scenes of Vrindavan, and they have some shlokas or pictures of deities. So whenever the boss goes out, they just switch the program to the CD. And when they leave, they take it out. So if the boss ever checks the computer, he won't find any Vrindavan Leela files or pictures of deities. So they're working on their work, and whenever there's free time, just change the window. Just change the window. That's what it's all about. Open a new window. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. We're all computer kids, right? Old computer kids or young ones. Open a new window. close the Mayak window and open the Krishna window. And what did Prabhupada say? These pictures of Radha and Krishna are windows to the spiritual world. Have you ever heard this? This is a very famous phrase of Srila Prabhupada. The paintings, the wonderful renditions and oil paintings and of Radha Krishna's leelas, when we see those, then these are windows to the spiritual world. When you look out your window, you see different things. So the computer is simply full of Mayak windows. Mayak windows. So close the Mayak windows and open the Krishna window. So this is the nectar of devotion.